I'm concluding a series today called When the Church Prays. And we just come out of 10 days of prayer and fasting with 10days.net. And I believe Linda and Jim have now, they were here at the first service. So, but they are the ones who coordinated all of this, worked so hard to bring this to our church. And it was just an incredible time of prayer for the 10 days when we focused on just praying together as a church body. You know, certainly individual prayer is important and your personal prayer is important. Spending time, we encourage every person to spend time in prayer every day with God. You can do that and just talk to God, let Him talk to you. But there's something unique and something powerful when the church prays together. And God does some really incredible stuff. And we've already heard several testimonies. Last Monday, we officially concluded the 10 days of prayer out here on the parking lot. We had, I can't remember, we had 20, 25 people show up, and we had some food and chairs out there. We just talked about the 10 days of prayer, shared the testimonies, and it was really powerful. And so thanks, everyone, for praying, and thank you for continuing to pray for what God is doing in our lives, and in your life, in our city, and in Encounter Church. And I'm going to conclude this series today with a message. Anybody, let me just ask you quick, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but anybody here been a Christian less than a year? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Less than 2 years. 3 years. Anybody? So all of you, some of you may have, and the reason I ask that is some of you may have heard this term before, because I'm closing this out with kind of a little different message on spiritual warfare. Because we are involved in spiritual warfare as believers. And we prayed for the nations like never before during this 10 days of prayer. I've never seen it happen like it did in the 10 days of prayer here at Encounter Church, where legitimately God put a burden for the nations upon this church and reaching the nations. And by the way, let me just mention that on October the 9th, myself and Jerry Lynn, who was in our first service, and Lisa Williams, I don't see her out here today, and then Jesse, where's Jesse back there? Everybody look back. I don't want to embarrass Jesse, but everybody look back at Jesse back there. And she's going to, all these that I mentioned are going to Romania with us on October the 9th to do some construction work and minister there. And my pastor and friend, Andy Sink from Freedom Christian Fellowship in Port Neches, Texas, is going to be with us as well. And so be praying for us as we go on this journey, our flights and all of that, and do our work there, minister to those people, love those people. But we're actually going to be putting a floor down and painting a community center that's an outreach center in a small village outside of Cluj, Napaca, Romania. And it's an outreach to the elderly and to the children, and a lot of people in poverty in that area. So be praying for us. We're going to help this ministry along in this project. And let me say, I talked to Pastor Andy, who's going with us. His church is raising money. We've been raising money. And we're about, $3,400 short of our $10,000 goal, okay, before we leave. And so pray about that. If the Lord lays it on your heart, give toward Romania. We would greatly appreciate it. But about $3,400. You know, all of us that are going, we paid for our own tickets. And, you know, the church doesn't cover that for the people going. And everything that you're sending is going toward paying for the materials to finish this out. And so if you'd like to give toward that, go ahead. We're starting something new this month coming off the 10 days. If you notice in the cafe, they got a big missions board up there now, of the world that Pastor Kayla put up there, and all the missions that we support there. And so this month of October, we're going to be focusing more on missions and all. So you can keep that in mind. And talking about the missionaries that we support, and I think you can grab something there and take it home with you, and just let you know about the missionary work that's going on with each one that we support, all right? And so I encourage you to do that. But coming off of 10 days, you know, there's spiritual warfare. And anybody here that's never heard that term? Man, a lot, probably most of you have. But there is spiritual warfare involved. And I can remember when I first started in the ministry about 30 years ago, and I started when I was 5 years old, and you can see that, can't I? You know, when I say 30 years ago, people are like, what, really? You don't look that old. Yeah, thank you very much. And but about 30 years ago, and I just went through a tremendous amount of what I would call warfare. And I've always been an early morning person, especially since the military days, and just always, you know, just had that early morning alarm clock. And there was one morning that I was especially been going through some struggles and going through warfare, and I was praying, and I got up about 3 o'clock in the morning. We lived at a little bitty duplex in Groves, Texas. Anybody ever here or heard of Groves, Texas? Man, what's up with you folks, man? That's where I was raised, Port Neches Groves. My dad's back there. Good to have him today. We were raised in that area for many years. He worked in that area. And after I said that in the first service, I did have somebody come up to me and say, did you say the Groves, Texas? I said, yes, I did. Well, man, I lived there when I was a small child, so somebody has heard of Groves, Texas. But we lived there in a little duplex. That's where we started ministry at First Assembly of God in Port Arthur, Texas. But I got up about 3 o'clock one morning, and I was praying, and I'm like, God, what is up with all this warfare? What is up with what's going on? I mean, it just seemed like struggle after struggle after struggle. And what the Lord spoke to me was Judges chapter 3. And it's not often that God speaks to me something from Judges chapter 3. I mean, so I paid attention to it. I was like, okay, what does it say in Judges chapter 3? When I was going through all of these struggles, it says in verses 1 and 2, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. And so what the Lord spoke to me from that passage of Scripture was that little phrase, to teach warfare. And so, friends, God spoke to me from that moment. It went from a logos word, to what we call, that's a Christianese word, to a rhema word. It came alive in me that the struggles that I was facing, and again, we were just beginning in the ministry, and, you know, I don't have a heritage in the ministry. Again, my dad's back there. My dad worked in a refinery and tank farm, storage farm, you know, gas and oil for many, many years, and that was his profession. And so I was learning a lot of stuff in ministry, being a pastor. And the Lord just spoke to me from this passage and said, Kenneth, I'm teaching you warfare in this season, that you need to learn warfare. I thought, wow. How many of you have fought some battles in your life? Even after becoming a believer, you fought some battles. Come on, yeah, lift your hands. I mean, just everything. You know, you fought some battles in life. And sometimes we don't recognize it, but it's warfare. And sometimes we're like, we use phrases like, well, boy, the devil's really getting after me this week. And really what a lot of people are saying is, I'm going through some warfare. And I'd prefer you to change your language in that and say, well, I'm getting after the devil because he's been trying to get after me. You know, but what you're saying is I'm experiencing some warfare. Have you ever experienced something where it was like things begin to happen and you just didn't understand? I mean, this would happen, this would happen, this would happen. I mean, warfare, you know, spirit coming against us, and it is a battle. And the Apostle Paul makes mention of it in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So right there's a key to warfare, that you be strong in the Lord and in His power, not your power. In His power. And by the way, I just want you guys to know that the first service, they usually amen me a lot better than y'all do. And so y'all just need to really just outdo them today, okay? And with amen. Everybody say amen. That's good. See, it's okay to talk in church, by the way. It is. Yeah. Amen. Glory God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 10, 6, I'm sorry. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. How much of God's armor? All of it. so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So what that tells us right there is that Satan has strategies. Satan has plans. Did you know sometimes Satan in his kingdom plans better than we do? He's got strategies and he's got plans. And the Lord spoke this to me last week. And I think I said it in the Sunday service last Sunday. I told the first service, I couldn't remember. I've talked to so many different people this last week. But I think I said it like this. That, you know, Satan and his kingdom are sometimes more united than the church and the kingdom of God. Wow. It's just the truth. Because his kingdom is united. It's more in unity sometimes than the church is and the kingdom of God, because we represent the kingdom of God on the earth. And it goes on to say, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, and you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So what does that tell me right there? Is that there has to be a, on my part, when the enemy's coming against me, I've got to begin to move. What does it say? I resist the enemy. I can't be apathetic. I can't just sit there. And I have to take action. Look at your neighbor and say, take action. Come on. Tell them to get after it. Come on, get after it. Move. Begin to move. It says resist the devil. That's action on your part. We can't be complacent when we're recognizing that there's warfare coming again. There's spiritual warfare. And listen, if you will pray on a regular basis, you'll get to experience spiritual warfare. Yeah. Glory to God. Doesn't that just make you want to pray more? But you have to resist when you sense he's coming against you. Then, after the battle, well, thank God there's an after the battle, amen. Thank God for after the battle. You will still be standing firm. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that our hearts will be open to recognize who you are and who we are in you. And Father, may we also be reminded of who Satan is and that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Open our hearts to receive what your Spirit is saying to us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. Yeah. So what do you need to know about spiritual warfare today? And it's not sometimes what we think. Sometimes we think, you and I think, that spiritual warfare is screaming at the devil. That's not spiritual warfare. Sometimes we think spiritual warfare is cursing the darkness. That's not spiritual warfare. The darkness is already cursed. Okay? So I'm going to help you, because these are things I've had to learn about spiritual warfare and making it through. How many of you like to make it through those struggles that come in life and come out the other side stronger, better? I mean, knowing that you've won the victory, amen? And also, first thing you need to know about spiritual warfare is that, first of all, very simple, Satan is real. Why do I say that? Why do I even mention that Satan is real? Because there were 1,800 Christians now, people that called themselves believers that were surveyed, and 4 out of those 10 said that Satan really just represents evil in the earth and he's not a real being. Christians, 4 out of 10 Christians, that's 40%. And then 19% of believers said, well, they believe somewhat that Satan is just a representation of evil and that he's not real. So basically what that's saying is that 59% of Christians don't believe Satan is a real person, a real being. 59%. Friends, according to the scripture, Satan is real. And the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's what he does, is steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God, the rest of that verse says Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. You don't know how many days. Even, man, I'm just going to start preaching now. Is that okay? Is that all right for our visitors? Is it okay if I just preach a little bit? I try to teach. I try to say, but I'm going to preach just a little bit. You don't know how many times. How many times? By the way, I'm looking around. Who was in this church in this second? Who was in this church when we first got here? Raise your hand. Three people. Wow. Well, my wife is four. She came with me. And, but they were in this church when we first got here. And you don't know the days. You don't know the days and the hours. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not bringing attention to myself. I want to bring attention to the Word of God and what the Word of God says. You don't know how many days and how many hours I walked through the aisles of this church. I walked through the children's ministry. I walked through the youth ministry. And I come back here in the sanctuary and I just spoke and I just began to declare that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I just walked around. Why? Because this church, there's Tony right back there. Tony was here when we got here. He's one of the elders. But Tony, he was one of the elders. And when they were interviewing me in the process, I'll never forget what Tony said. He said, "We need you to get this church out of a ditch." And I knew I couldn't pull it out of a ditch. And so what did I do? I just started walking around this place saying, The word says life and life more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. I spent hours walking around this church, and I still, every time I walk in here, I speak life over this place and the people of this church. Why? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life, and so I declare life. What am I doing? It's really spiritual warfare. I'm declaring life in this place, and I continually speak life. And some of you need to do it in your own personal life. Some of you need to do it over your families, over your jobs, whatever it is. Speak life, my friends. Why? Because Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly, friends. Wow. Man, that's about 90% better than you amen right there. I mean, come on. Wow. Satan's real, friends. He's real. And the second thing you need to know is that about spiritual warfare is that Satan is at war with us. He is at war with us. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9, stay alert. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Well, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. The devil. Wow, your spouse is not your great enemy. Satan is. Satan is not your worst enemy, friend. Satan is your worst enemy, not your spouse, not your friend. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. What does it say? He's looking. Stand firm. See, again, there's action, isn't it, on our part. Stand firm against him. Don't be passive. You got to stand firm against him. Resist, it said in the other scripture. Resist him. Stand firm. That's you taking a stand against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Satan is at war with us, my friends. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy, just everything about your finances. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's come to do. Now, I thank God that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, amen, and all. But that's, we're at war with Satan, and sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And the third thing is about spiritual warfare is that Satan has power. He does have power. Because listen to this scripture and what Jesus was telling the disciples in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the, everybody say it with me, power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, it's good news to know Satan has power, but Jesus has given us authority over Satan. And we can trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, all right? We need to remember that. But Satan does have power. Now, how does Satan, you got to look, and this verse is incredible. How does Satan use that power? Well, in 2 Timothy 2, 25 through 26, Paul is speaking to his young son in the faith. He says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Wow. How does Satan have power over us? If we allow him in our mind? The only way he has power over us is for us to believe the lie that he gives us, the deception that he feeds us. But sometimes it can get to the point, what Paul is saying right here, that there are some people that the enemy has them in a trap. They've been held captive to do whatever he wants. To do whatever he wants. Wow. There's such a stronghold there's in their mind and in their heart. Wow. So he's real. He's powerful, okay? He is. He is powerful. That's why I never, when I pray, I always, under the authority of Jesus Christ, I pray. And who I am in Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So, but here's the last thing you need to know about Satan, is Satan is subject to God. Satan is subject to God. 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have, look what this next phrase says, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. He says, you have already won. Satan is subject to God. There's nobody or no being or nothing more powerful than God. And Satan is nothing to God, all right? He has been defeated. Satan has been defeated through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has been defeated, my friend. And so how does he use his power on us? Simply deception. He lies to us. And if we can believe the lie, and then he holds us captive in this spiritual warfare to do what, I mean, just kind of plays with our emotions. To do, and we end up doing what he wants us to do. Because we've made room for him in our heart and in our mind. All along, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And listen, please hear me, friends. When you think of destruction, something, anybody ever watch, what's that show I like where they destroy all the stuff in the house? And what is it? I can't remember. You know, Chip and Joanne. Fixer Upper, yeah, come on. You know, anybody like Fixer Upper? I like to watch that. But if I watch it too long, GD gets me working too much. And so I have to really monitor that and manage that, all right? I like Demo Day, man. GD's been wanting to redo her kitchen. And I'm like, just let me start demoing it right now. Just let me just start tearing the cabinets out now. We can just put everything in totes and just live out of totes for a while, and we'll just start building it back, paying cash for it and all that. And I'm just like, why don't we just do that? I mean, I tear the cabinets out and everything right now, she let me. I tear the floor out. She don't like the old tile floor she's got. I'd tear that thing out and do all of that stuff just for the fun of demo day. Of tearing everything apart. But, you know, when I think of sometimes the destruction that Satan wants to bring, he doesn't make it obvious, friend. Think of a wrecking ball. Sometimes you see a wrecking ball that comes and swings against a building and knocks it down. And sometimes when we think about destroying something, that's what we see. But Satan doesn't do it that way. He comes a little bit at a time and chips away at it. And it's almost like, I just thought of this one, you know, of a prisoner in a cell that's just, and what they're doing is they're chipping, trying to break free. And every night when everybody goes to bed, they've got something and they're just chipping away at the concrete just a little bit on the walls until one day they're able to escape. And what Satan does in our lives, he just begins to chip away little by little. It's not the big wrecking ball. But listen, what it looks like afterwards is it looks like a wrecking ball hit it. I've seen it happen to families, finances, jobs, everything. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. But it's, the good news is this, is that Satan is subject to God. And here for the Christ follower, now here's where I want to get to the second part of this message, and I've got just a few points I want to share with you before we go today. For the Christ follower, for that disciple of Jesus Christ, for the one that's given their life to him, we fight our battles from a place of victory and not for victory. Why? Because Jesus has already won the battle. Jesus is already victorious. Satan has already been disarmed. All he can do is deceive and lie to you. We fight our battles from a place of victory, not for victory. It's a total paradigm shift, my friend, when you realize that, listen, Christ in me is the hope of glory. And the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, my friend. And we fight our battles from a place of victory in our heart. And that we are victorious in Jesus' name. And that's where we fight our battles from, not for victory. We've already won the victory in Christ Jesus. It's just a matter of time for it to play out, all right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We use God's mighty weapons. If you remember the story, if those of you that have read the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 12, when the disciples are going around, the newfound church, and people are being saved, delivered, and healed, and all those things are happening. And Peter and John heal a man at Gate Beautiful, then they get arrested. And just a whole scenario of things there. They're threatened and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. So Herod and the people in that region are so upset with these newfound believers and these disciples. And so by the time it gets to Acts chapter 12, James is martyred. James, the brother of John, is martyred. And then Herod saw that it pleased the people. And so what does he do? He arrests Peter. And so you can probably guess that why did he arrest Peter? Because he's going to put Peter to death in a few days. Because he did it to James and saw that it pleased the people. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that the church prayed. Wow. Everybody say, the church. The church prayed, and Peter was delivered from that prison cell. You can go and read it. Peter was asleep, my friend, when he was delivered from that prison cell. He was so sound asleep that when the angel came in and released him, that he thought he was dreaming. He thought he was actually dreaming. Because he was sleeping. And so Peter's delivered because of the prayers of the church. Think about that a minute. Peter's delivered because of the prayers of the church, not because of his prayers. I mean, he's sound asleep, and the angel shows up, and God moves and delivers him out of that prison cell. Friend, that's doing warfare from a place of victory. And the church was praying from a place of victory. And Peter set free, my friend, in a supernatural way. Spiritual warfare takes place. But listen to what Peter said. You can go there and read it. He said, I have been saved from Herod and the plans of the people. In other words, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what he was saying? I was saved from the plans of the enemy. And I wonder how many times our prayers have saved us from the plans of the enemy and we didn't know about it. In fact, I felt like during the 10 days of fasting and prayer, I just felt this strong impression in my heart. Is that while we were praying during those 10 days, that there were some plans of the enemy that were spoiled because of our prayers that we don't even know about. Praying from a place of victory. We use God's mighty weapons. So four of God's mighty weapons. Number one is this, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a weapon that we need to use in warfare. And if you're taking notes, you'll want to write these down. If you're not taking notes, you'll want to write these down. And if you don't have a pen and paper, you can go to encounterpeople.tv here in a couple of days and download my notes. You'll have them on there in the next couple of days. You can get my notes, because I encourage you to read back over these points. How do you overcome? How do you, in spiritual warfare, what are the weapons that God has given us to use? Number one is the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons still tremble, my friend. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's Lord. And in spiritual warfare, I always, always use the name of Jesus. Not for my own personal use. I use the name of Jesus in warfare, because that's a weapon that God has given us. Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. There's still power, friends, in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus. Do you need peace in a frantic situation? Say the name of Jesus. 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 There's power in that name. And sometimes some of us have been Christians for so long that we forget that. You cannot win a battle with the enemy on your own. It takes the name of Jesus and what Christ has already done for us. And I'll read about what He's done for us in just a moment. So in the name of Jesus, that's one of God's weapons that we use in warfare. The second one is the Word of God. Some of you know this. It's the Word of God. It's a weapon. Did you know your Bible is a weapon? You know your Bible encourages you. It feeds you, but it's also a weapon. What's in this Bible is a weapon for us to use. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive and powerful. How did Jesus defeat the enemy in the wilderness, defeat Satan in the wilderness? Jesus had a face-on battle with Satan in the Garden of Eden. And not the Garden of Eden, but in the garden, or in the wilderness. And in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how did He defeat Satan? With the Word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. How has the devil been attacking you? Have you found a scripture that exposes the lie he's been telling you? And then begin to declare that scripture? It is written. It is written. It is written. Ephesians 6 and 17, when it's talking about the armor of God in battle, says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. And friends, you take this word and you start slicing and dicing with the Word of God. The enemy cannot stand against the Word of God. It is written in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When the enemy tries to bring confusion onto me, it is written, God is not the author of confusion, and Jesus is the Lord of this house, so no confusion here. See, it can be that simple. It can be that simple. It's the Word. Boom, it's written. It's written. It's written. Wow. Man. The Word of God. And so when you're in a battle, where do you need to go? To the Word. What does the Word say? What does Jesus say? The name of Jesus. What does it say over your children? Have you ever done warfare over your children? What does the Word say about your children, my friend? No matter what it looks like, what does the Bible say in this moment of warfare? And if you'll open up this Word and you'll begin to speak this Word in your heart and in your life, and you'll begin to verbalize it and you begin to speak this truth, I promise you, it is a weapon in warfare. For your life is a weapon that you can use, speaking the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And the third weapon that we use is the power of the cross. There's still power in the cross today, my friend. And And you and I, there it is a weapon that we use. In fact, Colossians 2, 14 through 15 says it like this. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Notice it said, by his victory. That's a past tense. The victory is already ours, my friends, because the victory already belongs to Jesus Christ on the cross. And so by the power of the cross and what he's done for us, it is a weapon that we use in warfare. This is good news, friend. Satan has no authority over your life, and Satan is not a problem for God. He has no authority in your life, only what you give him. By believing a lie. He has no authority over your life as a child of God. None. And you and I can stand on the word and the power of the cross of Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 14 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. He's already broke the power of the devil through his death and resurrection. And through the power of the cross and the work of the cross in your life and in my life, friends, it is a weapon that we use in warfare. Wow, we are fighting from a place of victory and not for victory. And that's really good news. It really affects every area of our life more than what we realize. If Stacy would come. I'm going to just close here. Because some of you have been involved in some spiritual warfare. And there's two things that the Lord impressed upon my heart. Is that there are people that are involved in spiritual warfare right now. But there's some that have been involved in it. But you've just kind of given up. You've gotten tired of the battle. And so you've accepted some things that you didn't need to accept that aren't real. You maybe, let's say it this way, you've believed a lie. And you've just given up. You've just given up. When Jeannie and I, we've been here a little over 7 years now. And when we first came here, church was pretty small, but we hadn't been here very long, just a few weeks, when I got into a battle, a spiritual battle, that was fierce. I mean, it was bad, and only my family knew about it then and knows about it now, the details of it. And there were days that we circled in our living room and held hands and prayed, because the enemy was very unhappy about what us being here. And there was some it wasn't from anybody here, but there was some accusations against me that were absolutely false. They were just a lie. And it was by somebody that was very angry at me, very mad at me. And for a few weeks, I mean, it was intense. We all knew that they were false. We all knew that it was a lie of the enemy. But it was warfare. It was on. It was on. And I'm going to share with you a principle very quick, okay? And I want to wrap this up, but I want to share with you a principle. And don't forget this, okay? When God is doing something new in your life, when God's doing a new thing in your life, there's a principle that in the Scripture of the enemy is right there to try and stop what God is doing in the phase of it, if I can say it this way, in the phase of it being a baby, so that it will not grow to mature and be everything God's called it to be. And that's what he was trying to do with us when we first got here. I mean, it was warfare. And where's that scripture? Well, the Bible talks about Satan being the dragon. Well, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the dragon being there when the baby is about to get, I mean, when the woman, the bride is about to give birth to the child on the earth in the book of Revelation. You can go read that later, but that the dragon was right there waiting for the child to be born to kill the child. So therefore the child would not grow and be all that God had called it to be. And so anything new that's happened that God does in your life, that Satan as the dragon is right there. That's a principle. That's just, there's nothing new under the sun. That's the way he works. And boy, it was intense warfare, friend. It was intense. And we prayed and we declared without sharing any details with you, because one of the things I also did was, while I was praying, I prayed that God would bless this person. And I prayed for God to watch my heart. There wouldn't be any offense there. I forgave them during the whole process, although it was grueling. It was. But I forgave them from the very beginning. I offered up forgiveness. I offered up blessing to them. And it was just a couple of years later that that person ended up getting arrested for some things that they were doing that were very, very improper. And even when I found out they got arrested for it, I still prayed and said, God bless them. God help them. Because God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And the warfare on my part was getting through this and then leaving it in God's hands and letting him take care of it. And he did, you know. And it's not about me, it's about what God was doing and all. But it was very intense warfare that my family was having to battle at that time, because the enemy was trying to stop what was happening here. And friends, there are just times, there are seasons when we recognize we're in a battle. Something's going on. We're in a battle. Those aren't times to be afraid of. Those are times, okay, greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. It's time to declare the name of Jesus Christ. It's time to open up the Bible and say, okay, this is what the Word says right here. This is truth. This is what I'm going to declare. It's time to remember the power of the cross and what the cross has done for you and me. Because it says in Romans 12 and 11, it says, and they defeated him, talking about the dragon, talking about Satan, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, the words coming out of their mouth, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And so listen, the fourth weapon that we defeat Satan with, that God used, is praise. It's praise coming out of our mouth. They defeated him by the word of their testimony. They spoke. They declared. Friends, when you're in warfare and you begin to praise God, when you begin to praise him in the midst of warfare, it's a weapon of God, and it pushes back the forces of the enemy that are trying to come against you, because the enemy wants to get you caught in the battle, doing nothing but focusing on the battle. The enemy wants you to get you down into a place to where you can see nothing but the warfare. But listen, my friends, when you begin to use praise as a weapon, you begin to praise God in the middle of what's going on, that no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to praise him. Praise is a weapon, my friend. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's the cross. And then the word of their testimony. That's the praise going up from our mouth, friend. That's how we overcome the enemy. We begin to praise God in the midst of the struggle that's happening. We begin to lift up a voice of praise in our living rooms, on our jobs, in the church, my friends. But why? I got to get to the illustration so I can close. Glory. Thank you. Well, thank you. Praise God. God gave me this illustration years ago, and I just love using it. Anybody, any football fans here? Yep. I won't ask you if you're a Dallas fan. I don't want to embarrass you. And no, kidding. Yeah, hands going up, Dallas. Yeah. I love just giving them a hard time. And then they give me a hard time about my Broncos. They got beat 70 to something last week. It's bad. Embarrassing. But when you go to a football game, while they're playing the game, what are you doing from the stands? You're cheering. Yes, come on, come on, come on, come on. But after the game, when your team wins, you're not cheering anymore. You're praising. Wow, because they've already won, right? Wow, yes, yay! And Pastor Tyler up here, our youth pastor, he's a coach. He coaches football. Northside Vernon, you know, Indians. And wouldn't it be so strange if, you know, and they did. They won this last Friday in their game. They won. Wouldn't it be so strange after they won if there would have been fans in the stand for them going, yes, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can, yeah, yes, you can win this game. Wouldn't the players think, what's wrong with my parents? We've already won. Wouldn't they be, and the coaches would be looking back going, what's up with these people? We just won the game, and yet they're up here cheering us. Come on, you can win. You can win. We just won. Listen, Christ has already won the game. He's already won. We can't just be cheering him on. We need to be praising him because he's already won. The game's already been won, my friend. He knows the end from the beginning. He is victorious. He is triumphant. And sometimes we're trying to cheer him on. Come on, Jesus, you can win. You got this. I know it looks like, looks bad right now. Come on, Jesus. No, he's already won. And man, I've just carried that with me for years. But today, even this morning, as I'm going back over the message, the Holy Spirit just spoke something different, new to me on this right here. That when you, during the game, when the team does something good, what do? We're not cheering, we're praising them, right? Based on their performance. Sometimes our praise to God is nothing more than based on his performance. And when he's doing good, we praise him, but when he's not, when we don't appear that he is in our life, what are we doing then? Angry, complaining, upset. God, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? I prayed this. I prayed that. So our praise is based on his performance. And not just on who he is. I've been there. I've done that. Praise to him. He's already won the victory. He is victorious, my friend. And he's already done everything that he needs to do for you to be victorious. Praise is a weapon. Start praising him, even in the midst of the battle, when you don't feel like it. Start praising him. Start lifting up your voice and giving him praise. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Psalm 27 and 6, then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Notice in this passage what it says. My head will be lifted above my enemies who surround me. Many of us would rather it say when he removes my enemies. But this verse says, when my enemies even surrounded me, I praise him and I'm lifted up. My head is lifted up above my enemies. What does it say in Psalm 23? That he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, won't you stand with me? Praise is a weapon. It's a weapon. And most of us, we get it, okay? We get it. The name of Jesus, yep, absolutely. We get it. The Word of God, the Bible is powerful, isn't it? It is. It's powerful. We know that. We know the cross and the work of the cross and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and how he's defeated death, hell, and the grave, the Bible says, through his death and his resurrection. And we know that victory. You know where most of us struggle with is that fourth one, the praise part of it. Especially when we're in a battle. It's like we're trying to cheer him on. Come on, you. It's almost, here's the way it seems like sometimes, like we do our favorite team when they're not doing so good. Oh, you can do better than that. It's almost sometimes like that's how we, with God, God, you can do better than that. You know, you can do better than that. come on, God. Well, man, he's God. He can't do nothing but good. He's already good. I'm going to get me another God. Get a new quarterback out there on the field. Yeah. Oh, get us a new pastor, man. We just, you know. That's what the children of Israel said about Moses. You know, they didn't like what was going on in the wilderness. Get us a new leader. Yeah. Boy, if old Pastor Ken was a better preacher, if he took care of me better, I wouldn't be going through this. God damn it. No. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him even in the midst of the battle, my friend. And he'll move in your life. He'll move in your life. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, but he'll move. He'll move. He'll move. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Before Pastor Tyler comes to close us out, I did this in the early service, and those of you watching at home, I pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and I want to ask you, there's two things I want to ask you. Number one, you say, Ken, I'm in the middle of some spiritual warfare in my life right now. It's going on. I'm in a battle right now. And you just be honest. I want you to lift your hand and just put it right back down. You've got some things going on that you realize you're in a battle. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands going up. Anyone else, just give it a moment. You realize you're in a battle. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your honesty. Now, here's the second thing I want to ask. You're here and you're like, you just be honest. Just be honest from your heart. You'll say, Ken, I've been in a battle, but I got weary and I've just given up and I've kind of accepted things the way they are. And I'm not pressing forward through the battle. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. You say, Ken, I've just kind of given up. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Another hand. Anybody else? I'm going to give it just a moment. I've just kind of given up. I've just, in fact, these are the words. What's the use? These are the words. What's the use? Anybody here ever said those words? What's the use? That's just an indication that you've just kind of given up. What's the use? I get it. I understand. But let me tell you something, friends, that life is a battle sometimes. And it's not easy a lot of the times. But my friends, we have victory in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, right now, I just want to pray for every person that lifted their hand. God, those that they're in warfare right now, I pray, Father, that first of all, they'll recognize who they are in Christ. That they have been given authority in the name of Jesus. And, Father, they can activate the Word of God in their life. Because of the power of the cross, Father, you have disarmed Satan. In your death, your burial, your resurrection, Satan has been disarmed and defeated. And all he can do is lie to us, Lord. And I pray for every person that they're at this point where they've just kind of given up, Lord. They believed a lie, that your Holy Spirit will speak to them and begin to move mightily in their life right now. And Father, they'll reengage. They'll get back in the battle, Father. And you'll move mightily, Father, and you'll just show yourself strong to them. But for those that are in the battle right now, God, there are some that are fighting a battle. Lord, I first of all, again, on that, I just pray again for strength. I pray that Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, will explode in their heart, and the power of the Spirit will explode in their heart, God. And they'll be reminded of who they are in Christ and their true identity as a daughter and a son of God. And Father, they'll remember that they are victorious. They may be fighting a battle, but they are victorious. And so, Father, I just pour out your Spirit on them, and may they just begin to praise you. Even when they don't feel like it, may they begin to praise you. And may your Spirit move mightily through their life, God. Move mightily in Jesus' name. I need to do this, okay? And Spirit of God, let a fresh wind of the Spirit blow in our lives. I need to do this for those that lifted their hand and said that you've kind of given up. You've accepted things the way they are. I did this for those in the first service. I want to do it for, here's what I recommend. You're just weary. You're tired. I want you to find at least three prayer partners, three people that you can share this with that will cover you in prayer. All right. You've just given up. But you find three people, at least three people, that will cover you in prayer. And then I want you to go to sleep. I want you to take a nap. I want you to rest and trust God. Remember, Peter was sleeping when the church prayed for him. And he was delivered. And so you've been fighting a battle. You're weary. You're tired. You need three people that'll pray for you, that'll cover you in prayer, and take a break. Rest. Go to sleep. Let God do his work, all right? And just see what he does in your life. You know, but find at least three prayer partners that will cover you and let them pray for you. And then you rest. Get into, we call it a wagon around here. Hop in the wagon and ride with us, all right? And just relax and let God move in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, again, those in the battle, give them strength. Those that have quit, Father, give them some prayer partners and help them. Help them to get re-engaged and get back in it, God, because you're not done. God, if we're still breathing, you're not done. God, if we have a pulse, you have a plan. Yeah, Father, if we have a pulse, you have a purpose for our life, God. And so, Lord, help us to get re-engaged. And we are victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to fight this battle from a place of victory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.